Hello and welcome back to my music podcast. It's out. I have a very special guest here today, Lizzie McAlpine. Ooh. Hello.
Hi.
I swear, it's like I have this top five maybe of people that I've always wanted to talk to about their music, and you're for sure number one on it.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Well, we're here.
Yes, I'm so glad we're here. We're actually in this random room. We were just talking about the walls. They're so weird.
I haven't been in this room yet.
Yeah, there's like elevators, kind of scared. But you're about to be on stage tonight in Berlin.
Yeah.
Really exciting. Have you been to Berlin? Probably, right?
Once in like 2022. Anything? I didn't have time to do anything.
That's what I thought.
And I didn't have time this time either.
That's so sad. But there's also like days where you get off days and you have this like kind of moment to breathe in the city, but it's like not a lot of times for an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. People think touring is all about like, oh my God, you get to travel the world, but all you see is like this, like random rooms.
In hotel rooms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. True. True. I'm really excited for tonight because I've always kind of been very astonished by the way you perform your music, especially with this tour. It's very special. It's kind of like one feels really comfortable to watch your show because it's like this big living room and you have the people that you make your music with you. And it's so many people and so many special instruments that people don't really bring on stage usually. Yeah. And they're like usually in the back or whatever. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that kind of stage setup. And does it make you feel more comfortable to have
these people? I mean, definitely. Yeah. It was a very intentional choice. I wanted us all... Well, first of all, this band that I am using, we made the record together, give or take a couple people. The majority of them, we made the record together. And so I wanted the stage setup to reflect like that we're all one. I didn't want to like be in front of them and then they were like all in the shadows in the back. Like that just felt so wrong. And that's not the vibe at all. So that's why we like all sit in a semicircle. And
so cute. I love it.
Yeah, we just really wanted it to feel like we're just all at a jam session. We're just like hanging out in the living room.
That's exactly what it feels like to like as a viewer. Cause sometimes, I don't know if you know, like if you relate to this, but you're at a show and it's very performative, which can also be nice. Cause there's like choreographies and then they leave and it's so dramatic and there's the stage and all that. But I love your contrast to it being like, I'm going to make the audience feel comfortable as well. And it kind of feels like we're in the studio with you.
That was the goal.
Oh, I love it. you did it.
Thank you.
Is there anything specific that you like to do with your vocals that you have in your tracks as well? Because I feel like you have a very, correct me if I'm wrong, but I like a very isolated kind of dry vocal that really like punches the lyrics into my guts kind of, because it's not like all over the place. It's just very like in my ear. Are you very specific about your vocals when it comes to live as well in your recordings?
I don't really know like what we do to my vocals when we record them. That's not my job. All I do is sing.
I love that. And sometimes like people, artists are really into like the vocal.
I mean, I literally know nothing about the technical side of things, but I know there are like a couple mics that sound better on my voice than others. And they usually like, when we mix, they make them sound great, and that's not my job, so I don't worry about that. But live...
You don't have to worry about everything.
Yeah. So live, I just want them to be at the top. Like, I want them to be heard over everything, because I feel like that's the most important part of my songs, and also in the recordings, I want the vocal to be, like, present and up front and center, because that's... The lyrics and the melodies are, like, the most important parts of my songs, and so we try to make that very visible in the live show, too.
Yeah. I can feel it's a really nice feeling. Your songs are kind of like I've talked about this with my team when we're in the studio. We have a couple people who are like there's like Ryan Beatty and there's, I don't know, Ethel Kane or Alice Phoebe Lou or people that where it's just like, and of course you, and we like always talk about you, that the lyrics are so specific and they're so you. And I'm really impressed by like how you use your words to describe certain feelings and how honest your songs are. Mm-hmm. And they've become more honest, especially with your new album. Like you put out the older and wiser, and the wiser part, I was like, ooh, girl. It's very like super, like, you're super raw and honest in your songs. Have you, when you grew up, did you, was your vocabulary always, like, did your parents tell you, like, oh, you talk so well? Or how did that even come
Not
to be?
Really. I mean, I don't know. It's just with time, and also making this album has, like, really helped me just come into myself more. And this album sounds so much like me, and it was, like, really freeing to make something that sounded so authentic to me. And now I just feel like I've tapped into that, and it's just, it keeps getting better. I mean, also every time I write a song, it will get better.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah. But there's also that kind of like love hate relationship that people have with their old music where, it's almost like you, every time you make new music, you try to trump yourself. And then when you do, you're like, that wasn't as bad as I made it out to be. Like, it's actually good music. I think you posted that the other day. I laughed, I giggled, because I was like, yeah, makes sense. Like, it goes up and down. It's always, you can love your music, then you hate it, then you make new music. And how does that relationship change for you and your songs?
It's interesting, because I feel like, I mean, I love everything I've put out, some more than others in my own moments, but it also changes like all the time, because I'm always changing. And if I didn't like it, I wouldn't have put it out in the first place. And so it, like, at one point my old music was felt very much like me. And so I think sometimes now that I've made older and it's feeling like more in the direction that I want to take my music, I think looking back at some of my old stuff is like, oh, what was I doing? But I can also, you know, acknowledge that it got me to where I am, and also it's great. And I had to make that stuff to figure out what I wanted to do, and to get here. So
Exactly. It's like you have to make like 100 mid songs, which for you isn't mid at all.
I definitely don't think they're mid. Okay.
But like demos or something, you know, you have to write like, I don't know who said that. There was some artist that's, I'm not sure if it was like Elton John or someone really old, but they were like, you have to make 70. No, was it Pharrell? I think like 70 shitty songs. Yeah, it was Pharrell. Like 70 shitty songs to have 3 good ones.
Yeah.
And I think it's very over exaggerated, but it's kind of how
that's
music
real.
Is.
I mean, it's not really over exaggerated. It's like, that's pretty much.
Yes.
I have so many songs in the vault that have never come out that I wrote that were just like meant to get me to the next one.
Yeah.
So
I think that's so fun about like making music. It's kind of a really long, long process.
Yeah.
And it can be excruciating, but it's also very fun. What to you is like the best part? Is it the, are you like a listening to the, your music after the studio the whole time, or do you let it like sink in and then listen to it a week after? Like, how is your process with that?
I mean, it was different making this album, because when I was recording my first two albums, we would do it like, we would mix as we produced. So at the end of the day, I would have like a finished bounce to listen to, and it would sound like really good.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I had the luxury of doing that because my producer was also my mixer. So we just like kind of did it at the same time. But this time I'm not working with that producer. I worked with this band and we did it a completely different way. It was like, we were just recording live takes of every song. And like, that's what we had to listen to at the end of every day. And it like didn't sound great because we weren't mixing it at the same time. And so it was really hard to trust the process of like, okay, it's going to get there eventually. I just like need to trust that it will. And it did, obviously it did, but that's hard for me. I'm like not really a trust the process kind of gal.
Oh, I get that so much, but it's so human.
Especially with my music. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's very not, I wouldn't even call it minimalistic cause it's like this whole composition, but I know what you mean. It's like,
I just have a vision in my head of how I know it can sound. And when it doesn't sound that way, it's like really hard for me to listen to. Like,
you have to constantly hold on to that belief.
Yeah.
And then you don't have that immediate like serotonin of like, post studio, listen to it in the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And you always have to tell your friends, like, it's just a demo. Like,
I
that
know.
Sentence.
And my friends would be like, can I hear it? I'm like, it's not really mixed yet. So, no.
Yeah. It's just my phone. Like, we didn't really.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes it has a charm to it. Is there anything in your album that's like phone recorded that's in the record? Like a piano or something like that?
Yeah. You forced me to that song. I recorded just in my room in my apartment, and that's what we used. We didn't add anything to it. It was just like my demo that I recorded.
Wow.
I want you to hate me. I deserve it for my crimes.
Oh, maybe now that I listen to it, like if I listen to it back, I'll tell.
And then also Pushing You Down and Praying on the deluxe album, we took a voice memo. I make voice memos of every song that I write when they're finished.
Yeah.
So we took that final voice memo and just recorded band on top of it. So the whole voice memo is in there. That's the beginning. That's the end. It's underneath the band section.
Ooh.
But we just decided to put band on top of it. We were listening to it and we were like, okay, maybe we should try to like recreate it. But it just wouldn't have worked if we tried to recreate it because the vibe was so specific in the voice memo. And it was just such a cool thing that we had to capitalize on.
It's so I love that. It's like a cool stylistic kind of add-on.
And everyone is like, what are the vocal, like how do you get the vocals to sound that way? And we're just like, it's literally a voice memo.
It's like, always, I don't know, those things where they're like, it's, oh my god, what fancy thing did you use? And you're like, bro, it's
my phone. That. It's an iPhone.
Yeah. Or like goofy sounds when I watch some videos and they're like, I don't know, Phineas is like, I literally just used my water bottle and hit it against my head. And you're like, great, so this is what making music is like.
Pretty much,
it's not that glamorous. What's like talking about studio sessions, you're in this room with, I'm thinking it's just almost, the band is just men, right? The band, but the rest is maybe, there's, I saw that there was some women.
I have a lot of women on my team, it's not just men. Even,
that's not what I'm getting at, but what I'm getting at is that you're in a room with these band members and you like write about a lot of hardships and like love and heartbreak and relationships and yourself and a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Does that ever feel to you, I mean, you've just started working with them as well, and I'm sure it's a long process, but does it feel like very revealing, and does it, or are they just so chill that they don't even
really, I mean, they're like family to me at this point. Like even when we first started working together, like they're just so kind and amazing that I could never have felt that way. But also, when we're recording stuff, like we're not really listening to the lyrics. Like I listen to the lyrics and I know what the song is about, and we all kind of like know what the song is about and the feeling behind it, but we're not like dissecting the lyrics in there. It's kind of just like, what does the song need?
Mm-hmm.
What is the vibe?
Like a feeling. Like
yeah. It's really, we intuitive. Just go based on feeling. So it's not really like, I never feel like exposed in the studio with them. Cause also I like love them all so much. They're just so like, chill.
Yeah. I feel like creative men are like, not always though, but I'm not talking about artists, but I'm talking about like band.
That's a different breed.
Yeah. We don't talk about those. But like band people, they're just so incredible. They I don't know, their presence and everything just makes you feel so comfortable. I've never met a music like a band member that was super weird. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I mean they were all so, when we were recording, it was tough to record this because, you know, I wasn't hearing the finished products every day. And I'd also like recorded the whole album basically. And then we were re-recording a lot of stuff. Like I recorded it before I met them and then I changed direction and then I found them. So then we re-recorded a bunch of the stuff together and it ended up sounding way more in like what I wanted. But so we were all, it was already like an added challenge of like, okay, I know these songs so well now and what they sound like. And now I have to kind of re-record them and make them something different, and that was hard. So it was like a really stressful time for me, and they were all so kind and they were just like, we can do whatever you want. Like, this is your amazing album. Like, and I have had experiences with a lot of men in the music industry where it's like my voice is not heard.
Let me tell you what to do and what you are.
It was just so refreshing to have a room full of men be like, whatever you want, like literally we'll do whatever you want, we're
men
here for you.
Men written by women.
Literally.
kind of. But yeah, but that's interesting that you say that you had this like chunk and then you decided that it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And to have that confidence to be like, you know what, I'm going to switch teams, nothing personal.
I mean, there was no other way I could have done it. Like I literally, I couldn't not have stayed and I wasn't going to release something that didn't feel right because these songs are so special to me and I had been working on them for so long at that point that it was like, I'm going to spend the time to get it right. Even if it's like takes forever.
Yeah. It's a different thing. If it like, there's something about you, like in relationships with friends or anyone where you're confronted with having to, I don't know, be like, this doesn't sit right with me personally. I don't know if that's like, if it's the same for you, but when it comes to music, it's so easy to be like,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely different in like interpersonal relationships. Yeah, you know, it's different.
It's like
different
it's
thing.
Your baby. You're not going to like send them to the wrong school. You know right. what I mean? This is kind of what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
But talking about, you just mentioned pushing down and praying. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, the video, I was super excited about it because it reminded me of like school plays and you were in this like pajama. I feel like you own like green oversized t-shirts now. Like you're the queen of that. Like it reminds me of you now.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Cause it did remind me of, I think it was What a Shame. Like just the whole idea of you being really super self, like hyper reflective. Like, I don't know. You're so aware, hyper aware of yourself. I feel like you tend to be hyper aware of, cause like you're a good writer. Yeah. Obviously you're hyper aware of everything.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. You don't need to tell. I mean, I heard the song, but like the project in itself. With the video.
I mean, as soon as we got like a first mix of the song, I was like, this needs to have a video to it. And I was kind of like, maybe one of the deluxe songs should have a video. But then I heard the first mix and I was like, this one, it has to be this one. And my friends, Nima and Ethan, we just got together and came up with the concept together at like a dinner one night.
Friends, working with friends sometimes
exactly.
can be really cool.
It was so fun. And yeah, then I was like brainstorming who would be like the celebrity crush in the video. And I was like, well, Tucker is like here and available and like probably would do it. And
he
I was
is
right.
Cowboy.
Exactly.
He is the sexiest man of the year.
And he was very down immediately. And it just all worked out so perfectly. And like literally
cute.
3 days later that Nima and Tucker left for the Gracie tour. So we did it like just in time.
Wait, I met Nima. Ah, now I know which one you're talking about. Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, everything's so connected. There's something about the music industry, even though I'm from Berlin and I'm not over there a lot, like in the US, it's so weird. Like it's like a little village.
It is, yeah.
It's horrible.
Kind of sometimes, but sometimes it can be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it all worked out so perfectly and it was so much fun to film. We did it in one day. It was like very long, but it was so much fun.
One day, how long was the shoot? Sounds like
12 hours.
Okay.
Which is like not that bad, honestly. It was so much fun. It was like really,
it looked
really
like
great.
You were having fun.
It was so fun.
But it's also like you and your acting era. Like it was kind of, you have this friend and you kind of have to play this almost romantic, but over exaggerated, like theatrical
it
romantic
was very fun.
Moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also just miss making video content. Like it was just, I made a short film for my last album and like, I love making that type of stuff. And we didn't make any music videos for the original album of Older because it just didn't feel right. Like we made a music video for Older, the song.
Wish I was stronger somehow. Wish it was easy. Somewhere I lost all my senses.
And it never came out because it just felt like too produced and like perfected. And the whole vibe of the album is like we're just sitting in a room, we're like kind of lifting the curtain type of vibe.
I know
like
exactly what
and then we did the documentary, like the behind the scenes of making the album, and that felt like
that
the
fits,
only
it,
like the music video just felt too like produced. I was like lip syncing and it was just kind of weird.
I know exactly
for the vibe
mean.
Of the album, you know, but
there's
then
like a thin line. Yeah,
yeah, but then I mean Pushing It Down felt like the perfect song to have a music video for, and it was I just missed making stuff like that.
Yeah, it's so fun to have like this visual kind of connection also as a listener to to a song. And then it's also exciting, I think, for like the fans and the people that are obsessed with your music to be like, oh, she chose this song, even though like really, and then you have this symbolism in the video and it's this whole riddle and it's so fun. At first, I had to watch it a couple of times because, you know, I feel like I also wanted to ask you this because your mind works in like mysterious ways, but in a really nice way, because I love when songwriting isn't very literal in a sense that it makes me want to think like, what did she mean with that? And who is she talking about, herself or has that always just been your style, like intuitively, or are you like,
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't really think about it too much. I kind of just write what I feel like needs to be said. And then it comes out in one way or another.
Period. Yeah, that makes sense. I wanted to ask you as well, you have the deluxe version out now from like Older and Wiser. When I was looking at it, I was like, okay, So there's, in my head, I was automatically looking at it like a vinyl. So I had this like older side, and then I had the disc two that it says on Spotify, mm-hmm. and I had the Wiser part. And then I was listening to the songs, and the titles in the first half seem very like chaotic, and there's so much like going mm-hmm. on, and there's this whole kind of concept. Mm-hmm. And then talk to me about the second half, and like, how do you connect that with the why? Is that to you like the Wiser part, or what's the idea behind the title? Does that not even have a connection?
I mean,
overthinking.
I didn't think about it this hard, but maybe I should have. Yikes!
No, girl, I'm just like, what did she mean?
I knew that I wanted to do a deluxe like from the jump, I think, and I had soccer practice had been written for a little bit. And method acting was written like in 2022. So I had a couple songs already. And then I started writing some new ones, and they just felt like these five songs just felt like the final things that I had to say about this era, because I wrote the album Older about this relationship that I had in college that we dated for like a month. And then for the next 4 years, we were like on and off.
Oh my God.
Which was wild.
It's like a piece of gum stuck to your fucking shoe. Like,
yeah, it was crazy.
Get off.
So I wrote, and I've written a couple songs about him before, but this was the first album that was like all about that relationship. And it just has kind of like taken over my life. Not really anymore. But like when I was writing the like real album or the original album, it was like all I could write about, all I could think about. It was the only thing that was like in my mind. And these last five songs really just feel like the final chapter of it. And I have not written a song about him since then.
Let's go. It's just healing like, era.
Yeah, it's really, I have moved on from that totally. Yeah. And these last five songs are kind of like wrapping it up.
Ah, got it. Okay. Interesting. So I was fully overthinking it, like everything. Great. No, but that's also a really nice take on it. Kind of, it's very personal again. Like I love how raw you are. That's funny how many things you can squeeze out of one person into art, you know?
Yeah.
Like you had, but it's also, that's how your mind works. And it's so cool. And sometimes I'm like, okay, you were a shitty person, but I got like a fucking album out of it. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, right.
I mean, talking about you're going to be on tour, you're probably fucking tired and there's like so much to do.
Yeah.
How do you balance that with your kind of creative time to yourself? Do you tend to schedule like, okay, I'm going into the studio now, I'm writing now, or are you like,
definitely not.
Yeah.
I need to like just let it come to me. I cannot force inspiration at all ever. Like it just never works. If I try to sit down and be like, okay, I'm gonna write, it never happens. I just kind of have to wait until I have an idea, and then I will feel like when I have an idea, I'll usually write some lyrics down in my notes app. And then if I don't, like a couple weeks ago, I had an idea and I didn't have a guitar and I had no musical instrument. I was like, I need a guitar right now.
How are you? See, writing with like no sound is so like,
I mean, yeah, weird. I was in New York and I was just like in a hotel. I was like, my manager was in the corner over there. I was like, Molly, I need a guitar.
Reception.
She was like, okay, like we can like rent one. So we rented a guitar and then I wrote the song.
Oh, amazing.
It just like needed to come out of me. Like sometimes I can just feel it and it's like, so like, it's
like
right there.
Up.
It just it just needs to come out. So I kind of just have to wait until that feeling comes and then I'll write the song.
That's so cool. I think who was it? Conan Gray did that as well. Like the renting a guitar. I think it was in London or something.
Yeah.
But that's so funny. Like, I love that. Talking about the whole like kind of word vomiting and like the intuitive feeling that you get when you make music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also, or how do you go about the whole, when it comes to your production in your songs? I think it's so interesting that I feel like your words kind of lead the production in a way. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I love how the more heated you get, the production gets more heated. Like, explain that whole process to me.
Yeah, we really just like decide, we listen to the song and then we just try to follow what the song needs. It's never like, oh, we want to make this a rock song or like whatever. It's like we listen to the song and then it's like, okay, what is the song trying to tell us? What is it trying to say? What does it need and then we just put stuff on it that we feel like it needs, and that's really it.
I love it.
We try not to think about it too much, because then it just gets kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's like you don't work against the nature of your song.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so many people that I've worked with as well, and like that people have worked with that actively, it's their job, and sometimes it does well, and I'm so confused by it till this day. But I guess it's just different music, where I'm not going to name any names, but there's like people that I'm thinking about where the way they work is very like, it's like a recipe almost, like 1 + 1 = 2, and that's how we're going to write every single time. And then they are like bangers in the Billboard charts, but it's I don't think something that would also feed you as well.
No
like
way.
You wouldn't feel fulfilled after if you
definitely not.
Weren't able to like add this and then add this and these little details.
Yeah, I don't follow a formula for anything. It's not, I don't like it. I need to be able to have some freedom and do whatever I feel is right for the song.
Yeah. Very healthy. I love that. Were you ever at a point like early in your career where you were a bit like, I wouldn't say not confident, but in a room with people where they were working like that and you were confused if it, like, is it, have you always worked like this?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I did a, like, in like 2018, 2019, I was still in college and I was kind of doing some writing sessions. And like early in my career, I would do writing sessions with people, and it was like very pop. And I was like,
oh, fuck,
I don't like waiting, like writing like this. Like, this is not for me. But I don't do those anymore. I only do a writing session with someone if I like really am inspired by them and want to like see what we would make together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not for me. And I've always just kind of like, I'm going to write how I'm going to write.
Very valid. Yeah. I feel like it kind of feels like a conveyor belt work.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so impersonal on so many levels. Mm-hmm. Like you being just like, you're so young and then you're just in a room with like six people that just want to make money. And then
pretty much,
they just start to write and they're not even going to ask you like, what are you feeling? Yeah. They're just like, let's make a hit.
Yeah. But then there are some writing sessions that I've done that are just like so special and so nice. And I just feel like those are kind of few and far between, but those came when I seeked those out for myself and like wanted to work with those people.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, I think that's so refreshing. Yeah. I don't know. Cause, how old were you when you like started off? What was that?
I mean, my first album came out in 2020, so I was 20.
Yeah. That's like, did you start in like the LA kind of?
No.
I
just started posting on like Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
I moved to LA like 3 years ago.
Do you like it?
I like it now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
At first it was hard to get used to because it's very lonely and isolating. It's like very, very large city. You have to drive there like. And I didn't drive.
So
I didn't know how to drive when I moved there.
Yeah.
Cause I just like never had the need for it before. Cause I lived in cities. Uh-huh. And I just like was kind of miserable, but then I learned how to drive and now I have a car and friends.
Now I have a car
and a house. So like it feels way better.
You have that kind of nest and your little, your own life there. Mm-hmm. But I get that. I feel like LA, I've been a couple times, but I feel like it's still a very different energy there. Like the second you touch down, you're like, oh my god, it's so weird in here, guys. But I have, is there another city where you like the second you touch down you're like, ooh, this is weird? Because maybe that's just me, but I do have like certain feelings about
kind
cities.
Of but like I don't want to name names because like
she loves every single city.
That's, I love every city.
True, you're on tour. What the hell? You're like, I don't like Vancouver. I don't like y'all. No, that's so valid.
But it's never the people. It's always just the vibe of the city. True. Also experiences that I've had in the city, like prior to touring, you know.
Yeah,
like,
about knowing people.
It's complex.
Yeah. Yes. Very valid. Okay. I think I just got the sign to shut up, but I'm really excited for your set tonight. I'm going to be there.
Yeah. Oh my God. Amazing.
Yes. And I'm really excited. Thank you so much for being on.
Of course. Thank you for
having guys,
me.
And guys, stream Older and Wiser. Stream the whole thing if you haven't yet. Bye bye. To just lay here with you. You're kind of cute and I would say all of this, but I don't want to. Der Jetzt Out Podcast ist eine Produktion von Podcast Network by Sony Music. Idee und Redaktion Sarah Heiß. Executive Producer Sarah Heiß, Lukas Barth und Sandra Pfeiffer. Audio und Video Jonathan Heffner, Lukas Barth und ich, Faye Montana. Und die Songs aus dem Podcast findet ihr auf der Jetzt Out Playlist. Und alle, die mich beim Talken sehen wollen, finden Videos zum Podcast bei Snapchat und TikTok. Und nicht vergessen, Jetzt Out überall zu folgen und zu abonnieren. Danke, bye!